nu spus avi mor yakum di so petrus ze zeh nu spus daniel shene was a sure fall. Okay, so this week's parshas tetzave and shabbat zohar purim, so we have a lot of things to talk about. So I'm going to show you something in parshas tetzave. There's a sefer that someone wrote, I think it's called Shoel Ke'inyan. Shoel Ke'inyan, Meshul Ke'inyan. And he has interesting this question, this sefer, Shoel Ke'inyan, Meshul Ke'inyan, has interesting questions. This fellow of Shlomo Blum on the Moedim and the Parshiyos. So let me show you an interesting question. The Parshas Tetzave, which will open up a very fascinating discussion regarding Purim and Shabbos Zohar. So in Parshas Tetzave, discusses about the inauguration of the Kohanim, that they would bring special korbanos, and they would, you know, wave the tenufa, they would wave it and things like that. And then the Torah says, the Torah says on Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Chav Vav, Lakachta es achoze, you'll take the chest, Me'el HaMiluim, from the ram, the inaugural ram. These, in other words, these are all the inauguration of the korbanos for the, that the Kohanim will now be sanctified to do the avoda. So it says, Asher la'aron v'heinafta osol tenufa. They'll take the, it's, you know, like the Gemara learns out, the shuckling of the lulav from the way that they used to pick up the parts of the korban and move it up and down, etc. And he says, v'haya l'cha l'mona. And it will be for Aaron as a mona, as a portion. Aaron will get that portion of the korban. In other words, after they do the tenufa of the ram, of, you know, then that will be l'cholamon. It will be for you as a portion. So what is the, what does that mean? So a portion. So what does this remind us of? Shalach manos, mana, manos plural, mana singular. So the discussion in the poskim is, what is the definition of a mana? Meaning, a mana means a portion. So first is a discussion about the simple pshat. It means it has to be food. That's a portion of food, right? You usually say, this is your portion. You know, even though there was a discussion, hey, have you, John, you want to look up the pasuk and show you, yeah, look up the pasuk inside. In Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Chav Vav, 29, 26. So this way you can focus. 20 in Parshas Tetzave. 29, 26. You got it? So this is a mana. It's a portion. So now it's a portion of a food item because it's meat, right? The question is, does shalach manos have to be ready to go? And let's say you give someone raw meat. You give someone raw meat for shalach manos, so you can cook it and then it'll be edible. Or is that not considered mana? Maybe it's only mana when it's a portion, like you, when you serve your guests, you give them a portion of meat, a portion of a fish, ready to go. So the simple pshat over here is the word mana is not referring to something that was cooked, because they just shechted the animal, and they're now taking the parts of the animal and they're doing tenufa, like we move the lulav back and forth, and we give the kohen that portion of the chest, lemona, as a portion. Lamana. So the simple pshat in this pasuk indicates that the word mana doesn't necessarily mean something that is cooked and ready to go. As long as it's a portion, in other words, potentially you'll cook it and then it'll be ready to go. So in this pasuk, the usage of the word mana is something that is a food item, not something else, even though, there's a whole discussion in the poskim, whether you could give a, the Rav Shlomo Alkametz, the Baal Chadodi, he wrote a sefer Manos Levi, and supposedly it said over, people say over that he gave it as Sholach Manos to somebody. But normally we assume that when you write a sefer, you don't, it's not good for Sholach Manos. You have to give a portion, and the portion has to be, ready to be consumed. But from this pasuk, that sefer Sholal Kinyan discusses that maybe from this pasuk we see that mana is just a portion. And here, obviously, they just shechted it, so it's not cooked, it's not ready. This is raw meat, but still it's called a mana. But it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in the Magen Avraham, that he says when you have to give two portions of meat, so he quotes from the Maril, and the Maril says, Mevusholim aroi lachil. The Maril says that it has to be cooked, ready to be consumed. Ready to be consumed. And now we point out very often that, everyone has this thing, you need two different brachas. The simple shot is it doesn't have to be. You can give a piece of steak and a piece of chicken, and that could be Sholach Manos, because they're two different species, even though there's this both shahakal. And you would be yotze, because the simple pshat, it's not simple, but people always say that you need it to be that you need it to be two different brachas. But we're talking now and focusing on a different thing. Do you need it to be cooked? So he says that, so the pasuk in Chumash is mashma that you don't need it to be cooked, and it's still called a mana. But the Maril, and that's what that Sefer Shul Kinyan asks, that it could be the word mana in different contexts could be different things. But the Maril points out that he feels it should be mevushalim, that it should be ready to go. In other words, if you give somebody food that you still have to, you can't just eat it as is, then it would not be a fulfillment of Sholach Manos. And there is a sefer called Sheilas Yaakov. Well, before we get to that, there is a famous sefer called Halachas Ketanus. That's Rav Yaakov Chagiz, right? So he was of the opinion that even if you give money and he can go to the store and buy food, that would be good. Hasholech maos ksus keil, anything. In other words, you give something that he could, liquidate and get the food, it's also good. But we assume not that way. We assume it should be dafka food. And the Maril says dafka food that is ready to be consumed right away. In contrast to the Sefer Sholem Kivin of that pasuk that Johnny you just looked up, that has the word mana in the context of a portion of food, but not necessarily that was cooked, because it was and that was the discussion. So there is a halacha in Yoredeya. There is a halacha in Yoredeya that we know that there's a concept of bittul. Say, for example, you'd have three hamburgers. Okay? Say you're hungry. There used to be a store around YU. This closed many years ago. When I first came to MTA in the late 70s, there was a store in Washington Heights called McDovitt's. It was a fast food store. It was on the Broyers, Heckscher, and it was called McDovitt's. And they had, I didn't eat there all the time, but once in a while, I remember once there was the night of Bedikas Chametz. So normally the halacha is that you're not supposed to eat dinner before you do Bedikas Chametz, unless dinner is before the Zman. But I used to re do a real thorough Bedika. So the time I finished my Bedikas Chametz, so the cafeteria in YU was closed already. So I wanted to eat. So I went to McDovitt's. McDovitt's was still open. So it was fast food, chicken and French fries and hamburgers, etc. So say, for example, somebody's hungry, right? Somebody's hungry. So he goes to McDonald's before they close, and he gets two hamburgers. But he's very hungry and he wants three hamburgers. So you know what he does? He goes to McDonald's and he buys a third hamburger. This is theoretical because if you could see the difference between the things, but theoretically, if they would all look the same. So then the halacha is that you could eat all three hamburgers to fill yourself up. In other words, he would have bought all three from McDonald's, but McDonald's only had two hamburgers left. And then they were closing. Say, like the night that I never did this, obviously I would never do this, going to McDonald's and so I'm not this is but in the theoretical situation, he wants to fill himself up to eat three, and he only got two of the kosher, so he goes and gets a third treif one, and now, and theoretically, if you take off the wrappers, throw the wrappers away, and there it is, and now you can't tell the difference between doing all. So as far as the Torah is concerned, what? He could eat all three. There's one opinion says he shouldn't eat the vasachas, but one person could eat all three, even though vada he's eating treif. It's unbelievable halacha. Vada you're eating treif, right? Vada you're eating treif, but that's the din of bittul. That the chad betray bittul, the two kosher, one treif, and you can eat. Now there is a halacha that ein mevatlin iser lechatchilu, that you can't. Bittul is only if it fell in by itself. To orchestrate bittul, like here, you made the bittul, so that. But according to many, that's only a din d'rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, according to the Behuda, whether it's yovish b'yovish, separate pieces, that's a din d'oraisa. But in theory, according to some opinions, you could what? You could eat all three. Now, there is another halacha. That chaticha haruya liskabed, if you have a chash of a piece of meat, say, and if somebody would come to your house, you would mechabed him with that piece of meat because it's chashuv. So chaticha haruya liskabed midrabanan is not batal. Is not batal. So lchora, the hamburger that you got from McDonald's, lchora. Or McDovin's, it's a chashava of a piece of meat, the chaticha royal is kabit, so it's not bottom. Only, but that's only midrabanan. That's only midrabanan. That's not bottom. But it has to be. The Shulchan Aruch says, and this is that sefer of Sheilas Yaakov from the Mamshech son-in-law says that in order to be chaticha royal is kabit, it has to be what? Mavushal. Because if it's mevushal, so then it's ready to go. In other words, it's ready to be consumed, because it's mevushal. So therefore, if it's mevushal, then it's royal iskabed. So that's the discussion. You see in that halacha that it's not consumed. If it wouldn't be mevushal, then it would be batal, because it's not considered chaticha roilus kabe. because it's not roi l'shkabed. I mean, roi l'shkabed means it's roi to honor somebody with this, you're not going to give somebody a piece of raw meat to eat. But if it's cooked already, it's called chaticha, a piece haruya l'shkabed. It's roi to mechabed someone to your guest to forgive it. But the Shulchan Aruch says only if what? Only if it's mevushal. So that's the discussion in the Sefer She'elos Yaakov to bolster the point of the Ma'aril that maybe v'shalach manos also you need it to be mevushal because then it's mevushal, then it's like a chaticha, a ruy l'shkabed, and therefore that's what you should use for shalach manos. So therefore he discusses. So he says that according to Maril, it has to be mevushal. According to, there's others that hold that it could even be the halachas katana said you could even give money for shalach maris as long a few months. Even though you can, in other words, you can give him money that he can go to what? The takeout store. The takeout store will have good food ready to give, and you give you give him. I'm not talking about Matanis Lavyon, I'm talking about Shalach Manas. So, according to Maram Chagiz, you can give him money. He can go to the takeout store or buy some chicken and kashavan. And that'll be Shalach Manas, according to that. But according to most poskim, no, you have to give him actual food. So if you go to the takeout store and you get the chicken and the kashavanishkas, and then you go to your friend, that's shalach manos. That's shalach manos. And the other shita, so one shita says you can even give money that he could go to the store and get it. The other shita, you have to give food. And then the whole discussion is whether the food has to be mevushal or not. The Maril says it has to be mevushal. And we see in the halachas of Yoredeya that chaticha ruin l'shkabed is only when it's mevushal. But as the Sefer Shaul King points out, and other Achronim point out, you see from this pasuk in Chumash, lamana, that there that the word mana was used in the context of something that was not mevushal. So therefore he says, so his conclusion, the Sefer She'elos Yaakov, who's the son-in-law of the Maram Shik. Ram Shik was a big Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and the Sefer She'elos Yaakov was his son-in-law. He says that for sure you shouldn't get something that's not food, right? You should get food. And preferably the food should be cooked. And even though the Pasuk in Chumash is mashma not that way, but that's in that context. That doesn't mean that it has to be that way as well. And that's the story about Chaticha in that context. Now, I'm going to show you something fascinating from the Chasam Sofer in his drushes. And it's a drusha for Pasha Zohar. Chasam Sofer was one of the most fascinating darshanim. Like my friend of Simcha Kalish pointed out, some gedolim, you have three types of gedolim. Some gedolim were gedolim in halacha, but not gedolim in drush. They had drush, but well, they weren't gedolim in drush. Some like the Chasam Sofer, was a gadol in halacha and a gadol in drush. And then there was the Chazanish. The Chazanish's opinion that like Rav Goldberg Zatzal said, he was a gadol in halacha, and he didn't want to have anything to do with drush. Anything to do with drush? Why? Because he said if drush, people could say whatever they want, so there's no accountability. So since there's no accountability, I have nothing to do with that. And you know who else was a big believer of that? Your Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Henoch Leibowitz. He was anti-drush, because it's not muchrach. It's nothing in drush. It might be a true idea, but so I'm from. That's why Rav Aaron Kahn once said that you have to be a bigger gadol to be. To say good drush. Because if you're not a gadol, who says the idea that you're saying is really a Torahic idea. Maybe it's some secular idea that you want to stick into the pasuk, or you want to stick into the thing. So drush, you should be mekabel drush from the Chasam Sofer, because the Chasam Sofer was a gadol in every aspect, and that was so. That's the idea of drush. But I'm a person who likes the Chasam Sofer, and you should know they printed new Chasam Sofers, new printing, and Mr. Frankley was involved in the printing of the Chasam Sofer in memory of his daughter. So I have a special affinity to this. One day I just got this in the mail. I got this set of Chasam Sofer. I didn't know who sent it to me. And then I finally, Frank told me he was the one who sent it to me. It was in memory of his daughter. So I'm going to tell you what he says. I'll pay in the in Parsha Zohar. Sholach Manis is supposed to give two portions. You can give a portion of meat and a portion of kashavanishkus. Two portions to your friend. And matonis lavyonim means you give one la'ani, you give one matana to anim. One matan, one su to this ani and to the other matanas lavyon. So he says, why shalach manas has to be two manas, right? He has to give the chicken and the kashavanshtut. Why not one mana? You know what he says? Mishum de mana osios haman. Mana is the osios of haman. And we want to what? We want to destroy the name of Haman. And who wrote him, Limcha, says the Chasam, Limcha Shemal. He says, so therefore, that's why they made it Manos. So it won't have the osios of Haman, because the whole idea of Purim is to destroy Haman, to obliterate Haman. So he says, and what about matanos lavyonim? So there we give a matana to each evyon. He says, matana is the osios. So why don't we say you have to give, you can't give one matana to an evyon. Matana yeshba osios meis haman. So matana, you can give a matana to this evyon, because if you're giving one mana, that's haman. You don't want haman to be around, so it has to be mishloach manos. But here matanos, you can give a matana to this one and matana to that one, because matana is osios meis haman, meis haman. Aval mana is osios haman. Okay, so therefore you should give shtei manos. And the hay shall mana muvla beteva. So havalei gam kain. And when you give two manos, so it also is the osios of, because the hay is muvla, so it's also the osios of meis haman, of shtei manos. Manos is with the hay being muvla is osios haman. So ever is a zecher to haman. So that's why we never will give one mana. That's why you have to make sure not only the chicken, but also the kashavanishkas. So it'll be manas. Because if you only give one mana, it's haman. And we want to we want to obliterate haman. But matana, you can give, right? Because that's osios haman mace, and manos is also, and therefore we're, and the Torah, it says in the Gemara and Megillah and Daf Zayin, that it's three times in the Torah that the idea of three times in Tanakh, he says she laid, the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Halo kasafti l'cha shileishim, shileishim v'lo ribeim." That three times it's mentioned in Milchama of Amalek. One is in Shmos, the Kriyas HaTorah we read on Purim morning. And what? And one time is what we're going to read for Shabbos Zohar, is in Kisetse. And then the Haftorah for Zohar is the pasuk in Shmuel, the parak in Shmuel, that we're going to have the haftarah. So those are three times. So that's the three times. Maybe it's like a chazaka that the says destroy Amalek. So therefore, that's why this is what we do. We do matana lebeis avyonim umanos lereya echad. So as we give two poor people, and we know that matanos lavyonim and shalach manos is the remez of destroying Haman, because matana is osios meis Haman, and manos is also meis Haman. So therefore, we have two matanos to two poor people, and then manos to a friend of you. So basically, there are three things you're doing. You're giving shalach manos to one person, two manos, and then you're giving to two evyonim a matana, and each matana is meis Haman. With one matana, the other matana meis Haman, and manos to one person is also meis Haman. So basically, between the shalach manos and the matanas lavyonim, the three times we're saying meis Haman, and that's parallel to what the Gemara says is that three times we mentioned the destruction of Amalek in the three times we mentioned the destruction of Amalek in the Tanakh. Again, Parshas Beshalach, where we read Purim morning. Kisetze, we're going to read Bez Hashem tomorrow in the Maftir and the Haftarah, and that's the whole discussion of the Zayin Amaral. So too, the three things we're doing to three different people. You're giving Shalach Manos to one person. I mean, you can give Shalach Manos to more than one person, but Shalach Manos is two Manos to one person, and then Matana to this Evyon, and Matana to that Evyon. And that's the parallel to the three times of Mechias HaMolek, and each one, and by Shalach Manos, it's Manos. Because if it'd be Mana, that would be Osios Haman. And then we're trying to destroy Haman. And that's, I gave a share last night that the old minhag used to be, there were different minhagim of what about clapping Haman. But one of the old minhagim was that they didn't just clap Haman. They said the pasuk in Mishlei, v'shem rishayim yirkov. And every time that they said Haman, they would say, shame rishayim yirkov. It's like we say yimach shemo, that type of thing. And it's a discussion, why isn't that considered a hefsek? But apparently old men, today everything's a hefsek. Everyone's into this is a hefsek, that's a hefsek. It's all a hefsek. But in the old poskim, they weren't so, things were much less, I remember when my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, my Ashkenazic grandmother, Aleha Shalom, she used to wash the Tilis Yadayim. She used to say, Suya Dechem Kodesh. Those were, today no one would say such a thing. That would be a hefsek, that would throw you out of yeshiva if you would do that. Because it's all, everything's a hefsek. So that's the but that's a fascinating thing that he says that the remez of the manos and matana is all the destruction of Haman and three times. So but the old minhag was to say shame rishayim yirkov, and really the discussion of the poskim, the Maril didn't clap Haman, and one of the Sfarim it's brought down. Let me see what's the name of the paper. The paper is called Mili Da'avos writes, because the Maril held it was the minhag really for the tinokos, because Haman started his decree that he wanted to destroy the tinokos on base Rabbah. And therefore, the real minhag was for the children, just like The minhag of we do things for the children, he writes, on the Pesach night to make sure they don't fall asleep, and we do different things to awaken the children. So that's the idea. But in Parsha Zohar, it's all about Mechias Amalek, and the poskim had discussed whether women could lane could lane for women Shabbos. So in the shuls today, they have a kriya for women, but there's a whole discussion whether it's proper. The Torah Sefer has a because if you're going to have a separate kriya for the women, you're not going to make the brachas. And then there's a question whether you're allowed to read from the Torah without making brachas. And this was a big discussion about people. Chassidim have the minhag, we're going to get to it soon, in Chodesh Nisan. After davening, they'll take the Torah out and they'll read every day from what? From the Nasi Hayom. From the Nasi Hayom. They'll read every day in Nisan from the beginning of the days of Nisan, Nasi Hayom, but they're not going to make a bracha. And then the discussion of Mishnah Torah that on Leil Hoshana Rabbah. So some people have a stark minhag to do these things, and some people held it was also to do these things. Like everything in life, either it's a stark minhag to do it, or maybe there's an iser to do it, and because whatever you learn from the Torah, it's supposed to make the bracha of the floor. In fact, the Mishkanos Yaakov writes that he disagrees with the Ramban. The Ramban says Birkas HaTorah is Daraisa. And when we say every morning Birkas HaTorah, that's a Din Daraisa. And the Mishkanos Yaakov says, no, the Din Daraisa is only when you get an Aliyah, because that's a public Kriyas HaTorah. When the public Kriyas HaTorah, that's a din Daraisa. So that's what the Torah Sefer says, that if you're going to lay in the Torah, then you're not going to make Birkas HaTorah, because you're only laying it for the women, or you're laying it for Mishnah Torah, and you're not, and there's no brachas there, then maybe it could be a violation of maybe it could be a violation of this halacha of reading the Kriyas HaTorah. So some people, it became, in other words, even though the Sefer HaChinuch says that women are not chayiv in Parshas Zohar, because Parshas Zohar was to remember Amalek in order to go out in Milchama, and women are lav benos Milchama. So that's why some poskim held that they're not chayiv b'chlal. But in this generation, certain things became very popular, and Shabbos Zohar became something, and especially, and the women also. And I'm sure in your shul they did do a kriya for the women after davening or in the afternoon.
They do here also in BRS.
What?
They do in Florida also in BRS.
Yeah,
We do
right. So
before
these
Mincha.
people place. So some people think it's nice you with the women, and some people, as I said, like all avenues in halacha, certain things. People, well, one person might say it's a mitzvah, another person might say it's an aveira. But women, but that's why Rav Abadi, he always says to me, women do all these types of things, but the main thing that they need to make sure to do is to daven. He holds they should daven three times a day. That's a real chiyuv for women, and then sometimes women aren't as makpid on that, and that's a real chiyuv. That's not, because davening is considered rachamim, and it's not, even though it's a special time of the day, but it's not, we hold that the women are chayiv, it's not considered a mitzvah sase shazman grom. So therefore, he that was one of the things, like he said, sometimes women are very, I'm not a chas v'shalom, I don't mean to take away anything, chas v'shalom. Like, I think everybody speaks about the Hillel groups. It's very nice to have the Hillel groups, but that's make sure that they daven the regular davening also. The Hillel groups, they want to daven the Hillel also. But sometimes they have the Hillel groups, and then the same women on the Hillel groups are not not davening shachar, the shmona, shachar's mincha. Well, maariv is a question, but everybody holds that they should even daven maariv. But at least for sure, shachar's and mincha, I mean, what we mean is the shmona esrei. Doesn't mean to daven the whole, but to daven the shmona esrei, that the women are chayiv, or like Rav Shechter always points out, shalosh shudos is brought down, that women are chayiv in shalosh shudos. Because the poskim say, they also were recipients of the mon, so they're also, or because two reasons that Shechter to point out, that the afheinayubosohaneis, and because of shomer, that any woman that's chayiv in shomers is chayiv in the losas, is chayiv in zocher as well, and that's the idea of. Amalek represents Asher Korcha Baderech, represents the idea that Klal Yisrael should be cold, should be aloof, and our Melchama Keneged Amalek is the enjoyment of Torah, is our care for our fellow Jew, not to be removed from people, not to be removed from Torah, to have a concern, a care. And we said that Chodesh Adar is the Chodesh, and whatever we do in Adar is a kiyum. Yeah, so the mitzvahs that we do in Adar, with the Rabbeinu Chaya says in Parshas Truma that the old minhag was that what? That people would be buried in the dining room table. They would take the wood of the dining room table, they would make a kever from that, they'd make a coffin, from that, to show that that's what's going to malava you to the Olam HaEmes. Not all the other things in the world, but the chesed that you did, that you invited people to your shulchan, to your table, and you had guests over, and you especially, we should, once you have Purim, so that means Pesach is a month away, and then we always point out one of the Iker preparations we have for Pesach is to make sure that there aren't people in the community who are alone, that because the Iker of Sudas and Yantif is to make sure that we. That not only your own family guests, but other people in the neighborhood that don't have, and then will be alone. So that's the ikur of Yontif. Is what the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, the Noam Elimelech's brother, Ein bein Shabbos leYontif elochol nefesh bovad, which literally means that on Yontif you could cook, on Shabbos you can't cook, right? He says. Another word. Shabbos, you want to eat alone? Ochel nefesh bilvad, you can eat alone. But Yontif, you should never have anyone eat alone. And today, I said many times, we invite people for Shabbos also. Okay, maybe this generation needs that. But the ochel nefesh bilvad, but the ikar halacha of Yontif is the ochel nefesh, that your ochel nefesh, no one should have their ochel nefesh bilvad meaning alone to eat. So Be'ez Hashem, I want to wish everyone and Freilich and Simchas Purim, and it should carry us through the year, through Simcha, through our caring for our fellow Jew, to our Mechias HaMolek, and all these things, and the Sholoch Manos, and the Remazim, and you'll give a good Sholoch Manos, and it should be good Roi Lachila, you'll be Machmir, to have something that he could eat right away, and Be'ez Hashem, you should all be able to become the Torah Shabbal Peh again, Kimu V'Kimlu, and Be'ez Hashem, it should bring Simcha through all of you throughout the year.